Welcome to Elimination, the podcast that puts sitcom against sitcom and brothers against father. Here's your host, Bob.
It certainly is, Bob, and it's not just me, though. I am here with my older brother, Mike.
Hello!
And always our dad, Dave.
Howdy.
We can't get rid of him. So we're going to pick two more sitcoms to go head-to-head. Because you've clicked on this, you've probably already seen it, so you know more than us, the hosts ourselves. So, Michael, go ahead. Let's pick this sitcom. Let's get going.
I am Alan Partridge.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh-ho!
Kiss my face.
Let's go over to Dave for some info.
Right, I'm Alan Partridge is a BBC sitcom starring Steve Coogan. It was also written by Coogan, Peter Bainham and Armando Iannucci. That's a great name, isn't it?
He's an ugly bastard, though, isn't he?
Is he the little guy with the leather pants?
Yeah.
He sounds like an Italian midfield player, doesn't he?
Yeah, smell my cheese.
Anyway.
He was also in Mission Impossible.
Oh, get you.
The first one.
Oh, get you. That was very camp.
It features Alan Partridge, a tactless and inept radio DJ and television presenter, after he's been left by his wife and dropped by the BBC after the events of his chat show. Supporting Coogan in the cast are Felicity Montague as his trusty but timid PA Lynn Benfield, Simon Greenall as Geordie handyman Michael, and Phil Cornwall as Partridge's rival DJ Dave Clifton.
DJ.
To date, there have been 12 episodes.
And I'm Alan Partridge. We'll be going up against...
Go on, Pop.
Well, here we go, then. Let's make it a good one. Oh, someone around this table is one of his big favourites. It's Red Dwarf.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Big guns.
It's cold outside. Yeah. There's no kind of atmosphere now, I tell you. Theme music joke. Dave, give us with the info.
Right, Red Dwarf is a British science fiction comedy franchise created and written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor that appeared on BBC Two between 1988 and 1999 and on Dave since 2009. It follows the escapades of Dave Lister, played by Craig Charles, who awakens after being in suspended animation for 3 million years to find he is the last living human with no other crew members on board the mining spacecraft, Red Dwarf, other than Arnold Rimmer, played by Chris Barry, a hologram of Lister's deceased bunkmate and cat, played by Johnny John Jules.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah.
It's Danny John Jules.
I said Danny John Jules.
You said Johnny John Jules.
Sounds better.
Hey, Johnny.
A life form which evolved from Lister's pregnant cat. From series three onward, Crichton, Robert Llewellyn, joined the crew, although he did appear in series two, played by David Ross. To date, there have been a monster 74 episodes.
All TV gold.
TV bronze. Can I start with this one?
You can.
Red Dwarf versus I'm Alan Partridge. I wanted to start with Alan Partridge because I wanted to say he did the bit before this sitcom, I'm Alan Partridge, where he was on the chat show. Towards the end of it, I think it's Aha or something
It was a bit weird.
I didn't like it.
I didn't.
I also didn't like Alan Partridge's film, Alpha Papa. I also don't like the Alan Partridge that's on telly now. He's sort of doing like a one-show kind of show, chat show. I don't like it. I don't think it's funny. But I'm Alan Partridge. This sitcom that we're talking about today, I think it's absolutely brilliant.
It is, as
a whole, and with the,
smell my cheese.
Yeah, the
sucker.
Along with the like going to the garage and trying to sell his book, bouncing back, and and with the builders.
You gotta push it. Michael.
And the table with the balancing table.
That is genius.
And the James Bond thing as well, where he
acts out the whole film.
It's got Sunny Delight all over the tape, so he just plays it out.
Isn't it? The woman who plays Lynn.
Yeah.
Have a guess how old she was when that first aired.
40?
51.
She was 37.
Crem.
You said 40. Because she has her 50th birthday as the character in the first series.
Oh, right, okay.
And I always thought that she was, 37. I couldn't believe it.
I can.
You know, clearly.
Can't really, yeah.
I thought I was going to blow your freaking mind with that one.
You're deflated now, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, we watched the one, Dave, with where his breath smells of gas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he did, just to get their attention. He goes,
gas.
Gas? Oh, it was a Scotch egg I ate earlier. It's not settled very well.
He's living in the hotel, and
his relationship with the staff is funny as well.
Yeah, Sally Phillips, the receptionist.
Yeah, because they spray on his car, don't they? What is it? I'm a cock partridge or something.
Yeah.
He goes, they vandalised my car again, and she just laughs and walks away.
Yeah, she can't handle it. She can't handle it.
Yeah. Bangkok, what is it? Bangkok TS girls or something. Could you make pornography come on my TV, please?
I do like the banter with the rival DJ, Phil Cornwell.
At the beginning of every show.
He always gets the better of him, doesn't he? Shit. He goes, you can't swear on air. He's like, well, technically, it's your show, so you've lost control of your guests.
And the fan, the bloke where they end up in his room.
Oh,
the fan, that's the same episode as the gas breath.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's like,
I'm going to tell you, I'm really scared now.
I'm your biggest fan, Alan.
He's got a big tattoo of his face on his chest, or his back.
On his chest. I like the way it's around his nipples, or not over his nipples.
No, you know the guy, Michael the Geordie.
Yeah,
he's not a Geordie.
No. Yeah,
he does the voice for Alexander the Meerkat on the Co-Compare ad. The Compare.
He must have made a few bob then.
Yeah,
he does.
I bet he made
that.
More from that than he did from Partridge.
Probably. Yeah. He does a lot of that. He does the Shimples. That dude.
Wow.
The little rat.
I hate that advert.
Yeah, but fair play to Michael, right? Well,
no,
that's not his actual name.
No, that's not his name. Michael the Geordie.
So I just wanted to point out that this sitcom I love, but I'm not a fan of Partridge outside of this.
Yeah, I agree. It's a strange
Steve Coogan's all right, though, isn't he?
Steve Coogan's, he's great, but
yeah,
I agree
he's
with
grown
Bob.
Into it. It's taken a while, though, isn't
it? The first thing with his chat, it was bad. I didn't enjoy it at all, but this is brilliant, and it's the same guy. It's odd.
He was on Spitting Image as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
And I think he won the Perrier Award for stand up as well when it was supposed to be Joe Brand's year. I think I read his autobiography or something, and everyone's going, "Oh, it's Joe Brand's year," bro. And then this youngster comes in and just absolutely killed it.
Did Joe Brand in her act mention she was fat at all?
She may have done, Dave. Yeah, yeah. Once or twice. Yeah.
Well, that is her act.
Yeah.
A fat woman. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
End of.
I think we all like Alan Partridge, but I know for a fact that there's one person sitting opposite me that...
It's me!
Absolutely.
I love Red Dwarf. I've got a little fact for you. And this is I haven't had to research
God,
this.
I've challenged him to get facts. Now he's full of them, isn't he? Just...
Well, no, but this isn't really. This is a personal fact.
Okay, so you haven't written this one down?
No, I don't need to.
It may also be false.
No, it isn't. I watch at least 20 minutes of Red Dwarf every single night.
Wow.
How can you watch... Two-thirds of an episode.
Well, what I do is when I go to bed, it goes on. My missus hates it.
You must have a great sex life.
Well, this makes up for it. Yeah. It's like my porn. Oh, Lister. No, not like that. So when I go to bed,
Thomas Seven up.
I'll put it on. And because I've seen it so many times, I don't need to watch it. I just lay there and listen to it. Because I can see it in my mind's eye. So, every night. And then I put the sleep thing on my TV for 20 minutes.
Oh, that was boring. Good podcasting, everyone.
I have got a better fact.
Well, save it for later. Don't give them all
fact,
at
fact,
once.
Fact.
Coming up later, a fact from Michael. Again. I did a writing course with Rob Grant.
Yeah, you said about
it. I did a comedy writing course with Rob Grant.
Gave him a few tips, did you?
I did, yeah. He's going to write Red Dwarf 2. he was a nice guy. He taught me lots. And my sitcom, The Dump sitcom, I might as well plug it while I'm here. Have a look on Facebook. There is a 10-minute pilot. Cost me $2,500, so please do it. Please. Rob Grant did do a writing course at the comedy school in Camden. I went, and it was great. I think Red Dwarf's got flaws.
I don't.
Good diplomacy.
I'm ready to vote.
I personally, I think I can't tell you what I just love everything about it. There's maybe one episode that is. There's two episodes that are not perfect.
Well, go on.
One is the meltdown episode, where they go to a planet and it's full of like wax droids. Rimmer's really funny in it, but yeah, it's a bit irritating. And the other one is the Crichton, the first Crichton episode, because it's different.
What, not the Robert Loretta in the other bloke?
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's still a good episode, but that Crichton is just shit looking.
Do you know he based some of his movements on Herman Munster? And you can see it, can't you?
You know, yeah, I suppose you can. Either way, he walks exactly like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, like he says to the Kachansky, he says, you've got a ridiculous walk. It's like, he's moving all your hips. And he says, have you seen your walk? And he walks off of his knees, going, oh, that's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant!
And I've met the original Kachansky as well. Yeah, Claire Grogan, yeah, I met her as well, at a quiz.
She was in a band, wasn't she, in the 80s?
Yeah, didn't she do Happy Birthday?
Yeah, she was in Altered Images, wasn't she?
Yeah. That's right.
Well, let me just pick this name up I just dropped.
Happy birthday, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Now, where'd you reckon this one come in? The Rankers.
What, Red Dwarf? Number one.
Rankers.com 2019 poll.
It was definitely in the top one.
30.
What do you reckon, Mike?
I'll say 18.
Number 10.
Wow.
Well done.
Wow. Can I just run through what I think?
Rob Grant and Doug Naylor, well played.
Let's hear about these flaws.
So, I think.
Moving on.
I think, first of all, The early episodes are brilliant. The one with the Western thing where they what's the Riviera kid and all
that's
that.
That's not that early. That's in like series 3 or 4.
Oh, expert over here, Jesus, just shoot me down.
I watched the one last night where it was a game.
That's
well, yeah, that's good.
That's wicked. Yeah, better than life. That's actually the title.
Dwayne Dibley.
That's the title of one of the books.
Anyway, right. So I think it doesn't flow if you watch it all. They changed Kachansky about 4 times.
Once.
Yeah, well.
It was over a lot of years, Bob, wasn't it?
I know, but I just feel like it doesn't. If they could delete it and start again, I think they would.
I mean, you can't have 20, 30 years. You can't.
The Coronation Street thing was weird.
Yeah, no, but that was
quite clever, I thought.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know what the hell he was doing in Coronation Street.
All they did there was. It was like a three-parter. Yeah, blur, was it? I've only seen it once, but it was just to sort
can't
of tread
good.
The water. Cause
that's not a 20-minute a night
no, they'd,
job.
No, listen, they'd written... They'd
listen,
written,
he means this.
Shut up! They had written a new series, but they wanted to sort of see what... It's almost like a feedback thing. So they put that on air just to sort of see
the actors in their outfits again and see what the fans think.
Just to see
think.
What people thought of it.
See
and
if
then,
people
and
were
then
crying
they
out
sort of got okay to do a new series. And I like the new ones. It's not the same... But it's...
Why isn't it the same?
Oh, they got a bigger budget, so
never,
it looks
never go
better.
Back.
Well, I like it. I still love it.
Oh, if they made a new series tomorrow, I'd watch it.
Yeah.
The full-length version wasn't good, though. I didn't find it funny at all.
I mean, I liked it, except for the cat flap thing. Cat flap was just stupid.
That one was
but,
a bit iffy.
But I like the humour. I get it.
Yeah. What's your favourite episode?
I think the one I watched the other night.
No, the best episode.
Some of the plots are quite.
Can I answer my question?
No,
please?
Some of the plots are quite intricate, aren't they? They could be in a proper sci-fi thing.
Well, that scene where I think it's White Noise, where he walks in and he has a conversation with himself, and then he walks out. Rimmer does.
I was just about to fucking say that.
All right, language, Timothy. And then he goes, "Go on, shake your head and walk off." And he goes, "Shake his head and walks off." That scene,
that is
it's just brilliant. It's so well written.
I think that might be in episode one.
White Hole.
It's not in White Hole.
What is it?
Yeah.
That is my favourite episode. White Noise.
Yeah, White Noise.
White Hole.
That isn't. I think that might be in the first or second episode.
It's early.
It's not White Hole. No, definitely not. But
what is it? What's your favourite?
That's my favourite scene that you've just said, where he walks in and he's going, "You're space crazy."
Space crazy.
Yeah. You're the one who's space crazy. That scene's wicked. I love that. My favourite episode. How long have you got?
I mean, how long do you want to listen to Michael think?
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I've got it. I've just sent that down to... Okay, I haven't got a favourite episode. I love it entirely.
They're all dead, Dave.
I do really like the first episode as well, because...
What's the song he's singing when it first comes on?
Ganymede to Titan, yes sir, I've been around.
Wow, he knows it.
I think after you've seen something from the third series with Crichton in, it's hard to go back to the first two when he's not there. There's an emptiness. He
does make it better.
Yeah, he does, without a shadow. Definitely. That was a great
addition. Yeah.
But yeah. A risk. To come, what is it, second season he came in?
No, so he came in on the first episode of the second series is called Crichton. And then the rest of the series, he's not in it. And
yeah, but he's not played back by this bloke.
Yeah, and no, then he looks
weird. Yeah,
and then he comes back at the beginning of the third series as the Robert Llewellyn.
Yeah, see, it's risky, isn't it? It's risky.
I like the bit where he says I think he's with Lister.
He's trying to lie.
You know, he's trying to swear.
Oh, yeah.
He goes,
yeah.
Smear.
Do you know what smeg is?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you, Dave?
And if you don't know at home, Google it.
No, I'm going to tell you.
No, don't.
Why?
Don't.
There might be children listening.
If
there's children listening, this is educational. Okay?
I've always just
a clean version
of the F-word.
All right, well, I'll keep it clean, right? So, smeg.
Oh, he's reading this from notes. He don't actually know. He Googled it.
I get it.
Oh, my God.
Smeg is from the medical term smegma. And it's a cheesy type of stuff that lives between, I want to say bell end. Can I say that?
I mean, you have.
It's out there.
And the foreskin. So it's knob cheese.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I mean, now it is quite offensive.
Yeah, did you not know that?
I didn't.
Oh, my God.
I do now.
Because back when it was on, when YouTube first came about, I Googled sort of Q&As with the cast and stuff. I do it for most sitcoms. I'm a loser like that. But one person said, what is smeg? And they all sort of got off their chairs and crawled off the stage. And it was like, no, we don't answer that question. We don't know. You know, they just went away. So it's one of them questions that they don't like answering.
No, they won't. They won't answer it, yeah, if they're asked.
And I also, Rob Grant told me this story about Craig, what's his name?
Charles.
Dave
Lister.
They was in the canteen between shots early on in the series, and he walked over to them eating their dinner, and he said, I'm worried about being typecast. I'm just going to be the slob. I'm just going to be, you know, the... But as he was saying this, he squirted tomato sauce onto the table and got a sausage off one of their plates and dipped it in as he was doing it. And he said, well, yeah, you are what you eat.
The gap fits.
Yeah, it was. Again, they tried an American version, didn't they?
Yeah, that was awful. Crichton went over. It was really bad. That's where they really fell out. The two Rob
well they Naylor one of them has dropped
Doug,
out now
Doug Naylor. Rob Grant don't do anymore yeah
no. Yeah they really fell out. I think a lot of it had to do with that American thing because he wanted to stay and
big
he
bucks
didn't.
Though isn't it
yeah I mean you can't say no
but they did know. The car well, I think the argument was that Rob Grant wanted to if we're going to do it we're going to do it our way whereas the Americans were like well we'll take the premise put our actors in it and the balance was having Crichton in it
yeah
it was the real Crichton the real what's his name Llewellyn. But yeah, but the guy who played Lister, they used a guy who was up and coming, kind of really good looking guy, and he wasn't a slob, he wasn't a bit overweight, he wasn't any of that. So it didn't work. It just didn't work.
Yeah, well, I think it makes it better because I know it annoys Dad that he's just so scouse and he does lose that. He's not as scouse now. He used to be like, hey, can I hook my chicken?
I'll have a chicken. Can I hook?
Well, there are a couple of cast things that would have sent this sitcom in a totally different direction because apparently Hugh Laurie auditioned for the part of Lister.
Oh, yeah, I've got that fact written down also.
And Alan Rickman was the first choice for the role of Rimmer.
No.
No. Whether that's true, that's but I read it somewhere. Never,
do you know, I think they only earned about 680 quid or something per episode for that first series. It's something I remember reading once. It was really low. They didn't get hardly fuck all. But I love the fact that the budget was so small because if you look at the sets, a lot of it is like 4-inch soil pipe fittings that I use at work.
Such a plumber.
Unless something the Americans wouldn't have got, it would have been all super duper, wouldn't it?
Yeah. They'd have had the budget from the get-go.
Yeah, like it added Star Wars.
But then Red Dwarf hasn't really got a... Like, when I think of Only Fools and Horses, I think of the front room, the IT crowd, the basement, the office.
Well, you know, they got the Starbug, ain't they?
But what's the...
Oh, I think the room where Lister, the bunk is. I think that's...
Yeah, so that in the first series, but that's where the majority of it is. And then when...
Well, that's not a bad thing, Bob, is it?
No, I'm just... I'm not saying... I'm just asking a question, that's all. I'm just saying it's kind of... It's run for so long. How have they kept coming up with ideas? Because...
Well, they had a three-year gap. So I think it was between series six and seven, there was a three-year gap because Craig Charles was getting charged with rape and he got off, like, you know, he'd not guilty and stuff, and then they started again.
Well,
so
he had his old drug problem as well, didn't he?
Well, he used to drink and drugs, but, you know, fair play.
Oh, good on him. I mean, he's come back from it and he's, you know, making something of his life where a lot of people don't come back from it. So,
you know something I've noticed?
Go on.
There's a lot more to talk about Red Dwarf than there is I'm Alan Partridge.
Well, look how long they've both run.
There's a lot more to Red Dwarf.
Yeah.
And especially as they've restarted it. I mean, I quite like it.
Do you reckon? I think we've established that. So with Alan Partridge, Dave, did you have anything else to add?
I do like the
work. For you, Dave, which
I
one
said
is,
that about movie yeah, list, didn't I?
Which one is funnier to you?
What, out of the two programs?
Yeah.
Red Dwarf.
Yeah.
I do laugh at Alan Partridge, but it's cringe laugh, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like an early Brent, isn't it? It's that kind of cringe.
Yeah, it is exactly.
I'm not so sure about sitcoms that just rely on one person. Because that's what it does, isn't it?
Because a lot of the stuff that is said about
he's
a sitcom,
the only funny character.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You either have a monster or you have a normal person in a monster world. So you have...
What do you mean?
Well, look at Hyacinth. She's the monster in a normal world. David Brent is the monster in a...
So whereas, a contrast.
Whereas
kind
in
of
a different... Yeah, in different sitcoms, you've got like a normal person in a bizarre world. It's that contrast.
But with them other two monsters you just mentioned, there's scenes where there's other people talking and other people getting laughs. With that Iron Man and Partridge, it's just...
It's a strong character, and it does carry.
Maybe that's why it's called I'm Alan Partridge, because no one else gets a look in, do they?
He
really
wrote it, didn't he?
But the laughs you get are good. I mean, it is funny, very funny.
The funny part of it is everyone's having to put up with him. That's what it is.
Yeah, so it's people's reactions to him. It is.
And
maybe Alan Partridge should have married Hyacinth Bouquet.
Yeah, God.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah, that's a sitcom itself.
It's like when he's got his running shorts on. He goes, they used to have netting, but it's perished. He keeps popping. Oh, sorry, I popped out again, Lynn.
I did want to say about Red Dwarf as well, one of the funniest moments I ever saw, and in a season where I didn't think it was that strong, was the, I don't know what the episode was called, but with the little doll of Rimmer. I remember seeing that for
that's
the first time.
That's because that's when he went, Chris Barry went, that's when they brought in the next Kaczynski, because he went and done a new episode of Britus, I believe.
2015. That 2015, no. They tried to bring it back.
Oh, tried to bring it back, but it never materialised.
No, this was before. He did one of them. The last series of Britus was made later. I'm pretty sure.
Because I've
always thought that he went.
So he wasn't in that season?
He wasn't in it. And, he came in one of the.
Yeah, you're
Lister's
right. There was. Because I think a whole series, he only played about two episodes.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. I just feel like. It stops and starts. There's change of characters, change of dynamic, change
See,
of...
See, I don't...
And it just... It I get that
It's not
feeling.
A bad thing, though, is it?
I think
and there's,
it is.
There's so many discrepancies in it, right? So many. And it's... Because
give us
they
one.
Don't try and hide it. Oh, my God, right. Okay.
There's so many. You can't pick one.
All right, for instance...
I mean, Crichton looking completely different.
No. They're Dave Lister, he has got a picture of his dad, yeah? And like when the cat goes, that's your father. It's a dog, and he goes, no, that's
oh,
his
right,
dog.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
his got dog, Hannah. And he goes, oh, it's no wonder you're so ugly. But and then you find out that he's his own dad, and he lived with his nan,
that's
who
right, yeah.
when he because he was named Fat Boy at school because she fed him up. Yeah, but he was underneath the news table. It turns out it was him that did it. Him and Kaczynski. He's like, "Hey, mum." Kaczynski's my mum. my mother of my child. Like, yeah.
Well, I think a sitcom like that, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
I like the third gunman on the grassy knoll as well.
Yeah, he shot himself. That'll get a conspiracy theorist thinking.
Well, we're at the point now where the voting's going to need to take place. Michael's off.
That episode, because they go to that alternate... past history, yeah?
Universe.
Yeah, so they're in Dallas.
Is that the one with the bubble, right? Back when someone makes a million out of...
No. It's just... can't remember what it's called. But, so they're walking along and there's no one there in Dallas because everything's changed. And they see a man on the ground and they go, "Cat, can you get anything off of him from his scent?" And he goes, "Male." About 35 years old. It's magic.
It's a great dynamic, don't you?
Male. It's brilliant.
I mean, it is good. Well, this is the time to
vote.
What
Holly was best? The blonde bird or the bloke?
Do you know what? Love them both.
I didn't like the episode with the other one.
Queeg.
Yeah, that's not real. It's actually Holly, isn't it? It's Holly.
He's the backup. I'm the backup computer.
Yeah.
And he makes more. Everybody works.
And the toaster.
Yeah.
That's a
toast. Yeah. What he says, "Oh, howdy doodly doo." "I'm Toggy, your breakfast companion." Yeah, it's brilliant. It's sharp because that's what happened. There was an accident with a 3-pound lump hammer. Well, that was toaster side.
I think we know which way you're going to vote, Mike.
Well, I'm not really sure. Yeah, Red Dwarf.
I think you should go next, Bob.
I think I've got to go Red Wolf.
That's the spirit.
I do.
Can I take this gun away from your head now?
Give me the gun. I just think Red Dwarf does make me laugh more.
Safety back on.
And it's a better dynamic. Even though there are lulls in it, it still delivers now. I still go back and watch the early episodes.
Dave,
I mean, we got complete, even though we know who's going
for it. I thought you were going to vote Partridge. I thought it was going to have the deciding vote.
That backfired, didn't it?
But it is free.
And that's the end of the show, thank you.
But it is free zip. I'm definitely Red Dwarf.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any disappointment there, is it?
No.
Alan Partridge is a great, great character.
Just not as good as Red Dwarf.
But then it's carried by four, maybe five
Kiss
characters.
My face.
Smell my cheese. Okay, any last words?
Ha ha! See you later, smeggeds.
If you enjoyed the show, why not help the lads out by going to Patreon and join the debate? Music by Ben Sound.